welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
Good morning, City Light Church. I'm so glad you can be here with us. My name is Cameron. I'm a youth leader here at City Light Church, and I get the opportunity to speak to you today, and I get to come into your homes wherever you're at. I don't know if you're gathered around a computer screen. Maybe you are sitting alone in your pajamas with your phone, but either way, we are so glad that you are here and you can be with us this morning to hear the Word of God. We are living in a crazy world, in a crazy time, and I'm just so grateful that we serve a God and we can come together and we can read His Word and understand it more together. So if you're here this morning, you were sent some YouTube links to your Facebook. They're posted to Facebook. They're also on your email. And, you know, we can worship together listening to those songs. And now we can listen to this sermon. So if you have your Bible with you at home, you can flip to Matthew chapter 7. And we'll begin there. It says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Let's pray. Dearly Father, I'm so grateful that we serve a God that brings us together despite the distance. I know that your Spirit is with us in living rooms, in bedrooms, all over Lethbridge and our community, and that we are together in spirit even though we're not together physically. And I pray that today, Lord, you would teach us something new, you would convict us, and you would show us your glory in an all new way. These are dark times out there. There's lots going on, but we are so grateful we can come and we can be with you and take this time to learn your word. In your name, Jesus, amen. So my question this morning to you, church, is this. Where have you built your house? Have you built it on the rock, on the solid word of God, on the foundation that is Jesus? Or have you built it on the sand, where the storms come and it breaks and it blows away? I think this is an important question, and right now it's actually really easy to answer. See, in times like these, when there's negative news coming at us and all these stories, and you open your phone and all you see is Corona this, COVID-19 that, somebody died here, somebody died there, you can know if your house is on a rock or not. Because if it is on a rock, then in the midst of all this, you know you serve a God and you have confidence in who He is and what He can do and what He will do through you. And if your house is on the sand, you will feel it shaking. You will feel it caving in from the weight of anxiety and stress and worry and wondering, what if, what if, what if? We do not have to go far to find someone whose house is on the sand, church. We do not have to go far to find someone who's full of fear, who's full of anxiety, who does not know where to turn. I was at work and I was talking to someone about everything going on with the markets, the price of oil, layoffs happening everywhere. And he said to me, "I'm so stressed. Why aren't you stressed?" And I said, "Because my foundation is on my faith." And I got to talk to him in that moment. You see, church, in the midst of this, we have an opportunity to be the salt and the light to the earth, to show everyone that we have built our foundation on the rock that is Jesus. He is the cornerstone that the builders rejected, but we have built our house on Him. Amen? So our topic this month is generosity. And I think that comes at such a perfect time. It's no accident that Pastor Doug chose this as our topic during a time when markets are crashing, the world is falling around us, and stimulus packages are coming out from left, right, and center. And I have titled my message, "Get the If in Your Life." Get the if in your life. See, when we read the Word of God, from cover to cover, we find the promises of God laid out for us. And there's basically two types of promises. There's conditional and unconditional. See, God's love for us is one unconditional promise. Romans 8, 38, 39 says, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else at all in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Isn't that amazing this morning? I'm here to tell you, no matter how far you isolate yourself, no matter how hard you work to get away, you can never isolate yourself from the love of God. There is nor height you can go to, nor depth you can go down to, where you will be without the love of Christ. Isn't that amazing this morning? There's nothing we can do to separate ourselves from the love of Christ. That's an unconditional promise. Another unconditional promise you'll know about if you went to Sunday school was that God will never flood the earth again. He will not do it no matter what happens. It's unconditional. He will not flood the earth again. But most of the Bible is filled with conditional promises. Conditional promises usually, they have a clause to them. There's an if-then aspect to them. Like, for instance, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." Did you catch that, church? There's an if and a then to this promise. If God's people who are called by his name will humble themselves and pray, then he will hear them from heaven and he will forgive their sins and heal their land. Even Jesus, in our first passage today, he spoke about an if-then promise. It says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." You see, if you hear his words and you follow them, then your house will be built on the rock. See, we have to be hearers and doers of the word, like it says in James chapter 1. See, hearing the word is not enough. If we hear the word and we do nothing about it, then we build our house on the sand. And there's no promise there, because when life's stresses and anxieties come, we will collapse and we will fall. But if we hear the word of God and we do them, then we will build a house on a rock with a strong foundation which will not fail or falter in time of storm. You see, church, I think we need to get the if in our life, because so often as Christians, we're focused on the then, what God's going to do for us then, but we don't want to worry about the if, because if is where the work is at, and that's what we need to get into our life. In this passage in 2 Chronicles, the "if my people are called by my name" passage, it's very famous. You know, you can go anywhere, you can see it on decorations, or you can find, lots of artwork about it. It's a famous passage, but a lot of us don't know the context of it. And I think it's important that we understand that today, church. See, this is God speaking to Solomon, the son of David. And Solomon has just done this amazing thing. You see, he has just dedicated the temple. For 7 years, the people built the temple. And they stored up resources over a generation. They stored up wood and precious metals and building materials. And then for 7 years, they got together and they built it in these shifts, massive amounts of man hours. And finally, when it was built, they had this incredible feast that lasted for 15 days. And Solomon had an altar built, and it was 7.5 feet around of pure bronze. And on it, he put many sacrifices, lambs and cow and ram. He put it all on this altar. And then he started to pray before the people. And when he was done his prayer, the moment he was done, fire came from heaven and it consumed the sacrifice. It was this amazing day, this amazing feast, this amazing conclusion to everything that happened. And when Solomon went home that night, he was alone, and God spoke to him. And this is what God said to him: "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Wow, what an amazing passage. But while Solomon is alone with God, God also says this to Solomon. He says, "And as for you, if you walk before me as David your father walked, doing according to all that I have commanded you and keeping my statutes and my rules, then I will establish your royal throne as I covenanted with David, your father, saying, you shall not lack a man to rule Israel. Get the if in your life, church. Right now, more than ever, we need that if. But you see, it's hard for us because if I'm honest with myself, I want God to do the if, and then I'll do something. Like, you know, like, God, if you gave me a better paying job, then I would tithe because I'd have more money. Or God, if you gave me, you know, a better boss who was easier to deal with, then I could be a good worker. God, if you gave me a better wife who was better at listening and did what I told her to do, then I would be a better husband. And let's be honest, we've all thought these kind of things. But you see, church, that's not how this relationship with God is supposed to work. We do the if, and He takes care of the then. His promise is in the then, and our work is in the if. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I thought, if I could just see a miracle, then I would believe. If I could just, you know, I just want like one little blind person to be healed and to see. Or I just want to see like one time like fire rain down from heaven like it did for Solomon when he dedicated the temple. Just one time, God, please. I don't need you to part a sea, but if you could like part a pond, I'd be really happy. And that's not the way it works because the if is for us. When Lazarus died and he was put behind the tomb and the stone was rolled in front of him, Jesus says this incredible thing to Martha, Lazarus' sister. You see, because she's saying, Jesus, please don't roll the stone away. I'm worried about the smell. She's thinking about being embarrassed about, you know, the smell of death. But Jesus said to her in John chapter 11, verse 40, he says, did I not tell you that if you believed, then you would see the glory of God? Did you hear that, church? If you believe, then you will see the glory of God. See, God doesn't do the work first, and then we believe. It's we have to believe to see the glory of God. And that's amazing. I think we need to focus on that in this time. With everything going on in the world around us, it's time for us to get the if right in our life. We need to stop waiting for God to do something and start doing something ourselves. I mean, you look at the news, and it's this crazy thing because every world leader and speaker that gets up there, they talk about how the situation is fluid, about how stuff is moving. There's new information coming in all the time. And I understand that about our current health situation, but I am so glad that that doesn't apply to our faith situation. We serve a God who is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And He is the same God that rose Lazarus from the dead, is working today in our lives. And He is here for us right now. So are we going to do what that God has asked us to do? Are we going to try to do the if of His conditional promises? Or are we going to slough it off and just wait? Wait around for a miracle, because then I'll believe. Wait around for a better job, because then I will tithe. Church, we need to get the if in our lives today. So what does this all have to do with generosity? The topic that we're on this month. I think it has more to do with it than we realize. See, in Matthew 6, Jesus is giving the Sermon on the Mount. He's talking to these people. He's gathered around. This huge crowd has surrounded Him. His disciples are there. There's tons of people, kids, wives, men running around. And I think we can get in this habit as modern day Christians where we tend to think that, you know, Jesus was talking to a crowd, but the people weren't really like us. They didn't have the same hopes and fears and dreams. They didn't have the same understanding. Jesus talked about money a lot. You can hardly go a couple pages in the gospel narrative without Him speaking about money. He spoke a lot about it. And He was speaking to people that cared a lot about their money, just like you and I do. It's kind of weird to get up to here and talk to you all about money this morning. Especially, I understand, at a time when we're in a crisis. Markets are crashing. Oil's down. People are getting laid off. But Jesus was talking to those people at a time when things weren't that great either. And tax collectors were going around and taking money. And when he's speaking to these people that care about their money just as much as we do, he said in Matthew 6, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What an amazing verse for today. Because we're living in a world, let's be honest, where right now people are storing up treasures. But we're not talking about like gold or furniture or clothing. We're talking about toilet paper. I mean, really, people are going and they're having to be told not to buy too much toilet paper. And people are thinking as they go through Costco or Walmart or wherever you shop, if I get enough toilet paper, if I get enough soup, if I get enough pasta, then I'll be fine through this crisis. Here to tell you today, church, no amount of toilet paper will help you with the spiritual matters of this world. It probably won't help you that much with Corona either, but whatever, I'm no doctor. Church, people forever have thought, if I have enough blank, money, status, friends, followers, whatever it is, if I have enough of this, then I will be satisfied. Since the beginning of time, we've been thinking the same thing. I mean, what did Adam and Eve do? If I have enough knowledge, then I'll be satisfied. Church, we've done this forever, and it's the same formula. And it's happened time and time again. See, Solomon, he was a man with all this wealth. The Bible goes on in excruciating detail about how many cows he owned and how many sheep he owned and how much gold he got every single year. And people came from all around to hear about his wisdom and how wise he was and for him to solve their problems. And people wanted to know what he had to say. And he had all this wealth and he had all this wisdom, but what did he do with it? There's this famous story in Kings where these two women come to Solomon and they come with one baby and they're arguing about whose baby it is, which women this baby belongs to. And so, you know the story, right? Solomon says, cut the baby in two and we'll see, which, and then you can both have half. And then the one woman who says, don't kill the baby, that's his mother. And it's this great story of wisdom. But one thing I remember the first time I ever read this story, I was just a teenager. And the first words of this story are, there were two prostitutes. Think about that. In Solomon's kingdom, with all this wealth, with all this gold, with all these sheep, with all this going on, there were women in his kingdom that had to support themselves by prostituting themselves out. Later on in the biblical narrative, we see that Solomon used slave labor to build some of the towns. He had all this wealth and all this stuff. He still had to use slaves. See, Solomon's wisdom did not overcome his lack of generosity. And that's what we see in the story of Solomon. It's not a happy story. It's a tragedy. Because his life starts with this amazing moment, with this dedication of the temple. God's fire comes down. He has this experience with God. And God says to him, if my people humble themselves and pray, if my people seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them in heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. And Solomon does not do the if. He was focused on the then, but he didn't get the if in his life. And what happened? What happened to him? Well, he took wife after wife and he took land after land and none of it satisfied him. He wrote the book of Proverbs. He was so wise. He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. He was so wise. And yet still, he was never satisfied. See, we need generosity in our life to be satisfied. And that's why Jesus talks so much about money, because he knew what it does to us. He knew what it does to our heart. And that's why he told us to give. That's why he told us all these parables, was so that we would be generous people. Because if we're not, then we'll be lost in the world like today with Corona and all this stuff going on. See, generosity to me means tithes and offerings, talents and time. The three T's. And I think about Solomon. He had all this money, and people in his kingdom were hurting. They couldn't eat. And he had all this wisdom, his talent, and he used it to better himself. And he used it to get people to be in awe of everything that he was, but he didn't use it to help people. and he had time. Just like we all have time. We all work on the same 24-hour clock. I know sometimes it doesn't feel like it. And what did Solomon do? The Bible talks about how he built himself mansion after mansion and house after house, and he spent his time going between them instead of being with his people. I'm here to tell you today that I don't know where you're at financially. I don't know what talents you have, and I don't know what your life looks like. But I'm here to tell you today, church, that God did not give you your money for you. He did not give you your talent for you, and he did not give you your time for you. He gave those things to us so that we could be generous with them. And when we are generous with our tithes and our offerings, and when we are generous with our talents, and when we're generous with our time, that is when we can find satisfaction. I want to say it again, that all of Solomon's wisdom did not overcome the fact that he was not generous. So how can you today, in the world we live in, use your tithes, your talent, and your time for good? I mean, some of us now, we're in self-quarantine or isolation. We're doing this thing called social distancing. Everyone's trying to stay 6 feet away from each other. But church, we do not need to let the physical gap between us create emotional distance. This is the time when we need to come together. This is the time when, as a church, our family needs to grow. We need to come around each other. And even if we can't reach out and touch someone, we can pray for them. And we can send a text. I guarantee you there's someone in your contacts on your phone right now that built their house in the sand. If you're here today and you build your house on the rock, reach out to them. Talk to them. Communicate with them. Ask them where they're at. Because we are in a hurting word. Even that word, isolation, it has such a negative connotation, because when we're isolated and we're alone, we're vulnerable. And we're vulnerable more than anything to our enemy's attacks. Don't kid yourself. I mean, the threat of corona is real, but the threat of the fear of it and what it's doing to people is real too. And our enemy is working through this virus to isolate people and to get them exactly where he wants them. Reach out to someone, be the gap, bridge the distance between someone else without physically doing it. You can give someone a call. I know it's hard for millennials, you know, to call someone. Like, I'm like, text me, right? Like, I hate it when people leave voicemails, it's even worse. Ah, don't leave me a voicemail. Leave me an encouraging text. Church, oftentimes we say things like, if I had more time, I would pray. If I had more time, I'd read my Bible. But in some ways, this virus has given us time, right? Our activities with our children and stuff, it's all canceled. Life is on pause. Life's on hold. Use your time wisely. If you're in self-quarantine right now, take some time. Read your Bible. You know, they're talking about a 14-day self-quarantine. Well, there are 13 letters of Paul in the New Testament. Read them all and give yourself a day off. You can tackle Romans in a day. Get into the Word. And when we get into the Word, what we will learn is that we need to get into community. Get into people's lives, encourage them, help them out. Church, we need to make sure that this time, through this, what they're calling this crisis, this pandemic, it's a time when our church is still growing, still thriving, still moving forward. And the only way we can do that is with our generosity. The only way we can do that is with putting the if into our lives. There's someone in your neighborhood you might be able to buy groceries for. There's something you can do to help a neighbor out. Shovel a walk. Do what you can. There's something you can do. And we need to pray and ask God to show us those things and be the kind of people who go forward and do them. I was listening to this report by, I think he worked for the World Health Organization or the UN, I'm not sure. But he was talking about emergency management and how they do it. And he said the most important thing in emergency management is that you do something. You don't have to do the correct thing or the perfect thing. You have to do something, because something is better than nothing. I think we as a church need to hold on to that through this crisis. Something is better than nothing. We might sit there and we're, you know, in our own fear and our own anxiety about this virus, but something's going on next door. Find a way to help them out. Something is better than nothing. A text is better than nothing. A call is better than nothing, church. And we need to live this out. We need to get the if in our life. Solomon didn't. And according to the Bible, he married 700 women, 300 concubines. He had all this wealth, all this stuff. And he died not right in his life with God. See, the difference between Solomon and his father David, David made some big mistakes too. We could go on and on about those. But his heart was after God, and after each mistake, he tried to do better, tried to get his relationship right with God. He was always concerned about the if, even when he didn't do it right. If you're here today, I'm here to tell you that Jesus loves you no matter what. He loves you unconditionally and fully, and he wants a relationship with you, and that's what the if is about. It's not about perfection. It's about doing something, because something is so much better than nothing. And in this time, church, I want to challenge us to grow during this time. Let's not use this as an excuse. You know, some people are talking about churches are closing down. I want to see our church grow through this. You know, if you're out there and you're a parent and you're at home with your kids, let's take this opportunity to teach them something. Slow down, eat a meal together, talk about the Bible, pray together. Dads out there, fathers, husbands, lead your families through this. It's time. We need to step up more than ever. The enemy is attacking, and that means the leader of households needs to do even more. We need to pray even more. We need to read our Bibles even more. And I challenge you, read the Bible with your wives and pray with her. Help her. Encourage her. Lots is going on in our lives. Let's be in communication. You know, I don't have any stats to prove it, but I heard that, you know, divorces have gone up like crazy in Italy and China, parts of the world where they're, you know, locked down way more than we are, as husbands and wives and families are stuck together, when we all know what that can be like, going stir crazy with your kids, bouncing off the walls, unable to take them to the pool to burn energy. But let's be the exact opposite. Let's let this time strengthen our relationships and our marriages and as parents and as friends. Reach out to someone now. Don't wait for an hour. You got time. When you turn this off, you know, don't even worry about getting out of your pajamas. Call someone, text someone, encourage someone today, and let's be the church that grows through this, the salt and the light of our community. As we close today, I just want to mention that, you know, if you're here, wherever you're at, you're not here, but wherever you're at, you know, and you want to give today, what we're going to do that is it's going to be through e-transfer at giving@citylightchurch.ca. If you have any questions, you can call the office. And church, through this time, let's be givers. Let's let the light shine through our tithes and our offerings through this time of hurt, because the church can take those funds and do amazing things with them for people that are struggling through this time. If you're wherever you are this morning, and you built your house on the rock, I encourage you to keep on focusing on the if and keep on reaching out and finding those people who built their house on the sand. If you're listening this morning and you've built your house on the sand and you can feel the weight of the anxiety and the stress crashing around you, it's time to move your house. Pick it up and relocate it onto the rock. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you don't know this endless love, you don't know the promises of a God who loves you, it's time to meet him, to know him. It will be the greatest decision you ever make. It's not something scary, it's a prayer, and it's a decision, and it will change your life forever. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are such a generous God who has given us so much. I thank you that you keep our treasures and our hope safe. Father, I pray for our church through this time that we'd be light and salt to the earth, and that we would get your message of love and hope out to a world in darkness. I pray for people who've built their house on the sand, God, help them, show them the if they need to get in their life. Show them what is going on, what is holding them back, what is distracting them, what they're holding back from you, so that they can move their house and plant it on the rock. Father, I pray for anyone that doesn't know you. I pray that your Holy Spirit would stir them. They know who they are, Father, and you know them. I pray you would stir up your Holy Spirit within them, and that you would cause them to say the prayer I'm going to say, and that they would cause them to not think this is something they ate or something that just, you know, worked out today, but I pray that they would take this decision and move forward in their relationship with you. Father, I pray that you would help each and every one of us to be encouraged through your word, through this crazy time, and that we would have opportunities to speak to others. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I just want you to say this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross for my sins. Thank you for loving me from the moment I was born. I pray that you would forgive me, that you would lead me, and you would make me your own, so that I might follow you all the days of my life. Thank you. Jesus, I ask that you would provide for each and every one of us, that you would put a hedge of protection around all of our families. Holy Spirit, you would enter our homes, cause us to not just get along, but to thrive through this. I pray you'd help for our health as a church, that we would be healthy, we would move forward with strength. And for anyone that is feeling down, I pray your healing hand would be upon them, Father. I pray also that as we give, that you would stretch the what we give into so much more than we could ever make it ourselves. And I pray that each person who said that prayer for the first time, that gave their life to you, that they would not stop where they are, but they would press forward into who you are. In your precious name, Jesus, amen.